God, we come before you. We thank you for the incredible gift of your Son. What an amazing truth that God himself became man and took on flesh and dwelt among us. And you did that for a very specific purpose. You did that so that you might pay the penalty for our sin, the debt that we owed in our relationship with God. And you bore our sin in your body on the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that truth and that you rose again on the third day. So it's with that we come in here this evening and worship, not to remember an event that took place in the past, but one that is taking place in our hearts and our lives every day that we serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand together as we sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Oh, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
You may be seated.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Dead in thy dark street shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Reading from Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his hand. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, a dear Christ enters in.
born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples and chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah? Where was the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has been dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Isn't it wonderful just to kind of sit back and take pause out of the midst of a busy life, not just a busy season, but a busy life that is filled with appointments and things to do and people to see and places to go and gifts to buy, and to sit back and take pause. And today, this evening, what we're going to do is we've kind of built this as the journey to Bethlehem, because really the road to the cross of Jesus and our sins forgiven went straight through Bethlehem. And this was spoken of in the Old Testament some almost 700 years before Christ's birth. Micah the prophet, one of the minor prophets called, said this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." You know, we sang "O Little Town of Bethlehem." It's the only carol about a city. And it is not Jerusalem, and it's not Nazareth. It's Bethlehem. Because Bethlehem had a storied history. Some of you will recall in the Old Testament there's a book called the Book of Ruth. And Ruth was not an Israelite. She wasn't a Jewish person. She was a Moabite. And the lady that became her mother-in-law was Naomi, and she had come to the land of Moab to seek refuge during a famine. And her sons and her husband die, and Ruth kind of attached herself to Naomi, and she goes back to Israel with her to the town of Bethlehem. And if you know any of your biblical history, but if you don't, I'm going to tell you about it. Naomi ends up introducing, if you will, or encouraging Ruth, her daughter-in-law, to meet a man named Boaz, who became what was called a kinsman redeemer. There's a whole lot of wealth of history in that, but here's what happened. The Moabite, the one who was outside of the promise of God, got grafted in to the kingdom of God by marrying Boaz, and Boaz bought the right to marry her and to have the land. And what is amazing about that story is that you see that they had a son named Obed, who had a son named Jesse. You will read this in Matthew chapter 1 and all the begetting that's going on there. And they had a son, Jesse had a son named David. And David eventually became the king of Israel. The hope of the Jewish people was that one day God would restore the throne of David and deliver his people from oppression. Bethlehem had a storied history because it was not only there that David was from, but it was there that David himself had shepherded his father's sheep. It was in the environs of Bethlehem that Samuel the prophet came and anointed David king over Israel. And the Bible, almost 700 years before Jesus' birth, talked about a certain place at the right time that one would be born, and I want you to notice this, one who would be born whose origins were from old, from ancient times. That literally means one from eternity. I wonder what the prophet was thinking when he was inspired to write these words. What he is saying is this: the one that was going to be born in Bethlehem, that would be the ruler over God's people, would be born, but he would not be created. You see, everyone in this room was born, and we were created and formed in the womb. God watched over us. Psalm 139 tells us this. But the prophet was writing, the one who would be born in Bethlehem would be from eternity, from ancient times. And he's giving the hint there, the prophecy, that he would be divine and human. We all have a birthplace. Most of you know exactly where you were born. But it was just that he would not be divine, he would be human. He would be a baby born of a mother come in person. Now, if God had come as God, everyone would have recognized it. But he came with flesh and bones. He came the way you and I came in to the world. He was human in every way. That's why the scripture says, small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler of Israel. One from eternity would be born in Bethlehem who would rule over all of God's people. What the prophecy is this: the one who said, let there be light, became the light of the world that shines in the darkness. The one who hung the stars in place was what the scriptures called the bright morning star. The one who created every man is going to be a man himself. And you read this in places like the Apostle John in John chapter 1, who said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then later in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh, became human, and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The scripture, not only here, but in other places, in the book of Isaiah, it tells us, and Pastor Bob and Pat read this, that unto us a child will be born, a son given, divine and human. Notice, the child is born, but the son was given. What does that speak into your mind? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Human yet divine. The Son of God is also the Son of Man. You see, the Son of Man was baptized in water, but the Son of God baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Son of Man, he got thirsty and needed drink and cried out from the cross, I thirst. But as the Son of God, Jesus walked on the water. As the Son of Man, he got hungry. But as the Son of God, he fed 5,000 men and women and children. And as the Son of Man, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But at the Son of God, as the Son of God, he raised him back to life. And in his flesh, as the Son of Man, he bore in his flesh your sins and mine and died on the cross. But as the Son of God, he rose again on the third day. Therefore, God has given him a name that is above every other name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Messiah would come from Bethlehem. Talked about Bethlehem some. It means house of bread. Interesting that the one who was born that would be the ruler would say to people as a grown man, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that has come out of heaven for you. How in the upper room he said, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. But we don't want to pass over this other word, Ephrathah. Why does he say Ephrathah? You see, Bethlehem had a storied history, and Ephrathah was an older name for the town, the little town of Bethlehem. And it meant fruitful fields or vineyards. Now, it was at Ephrathah that Rachel, Jacob's wife, died when she gave birth to Benjamin. In fact, at that place, she cried out, Ben Oni, which means son of sorrow. And Jacob said, no, he will be called Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Notice the clarity in the Bible here. The Father sent the son of the right hand down to earth for you and me. And the Bible says he would be a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief. And by his stripes we would be healed. The one who came from the house of bread said, I am the bread of life. The one who came from the place that was also known as the fruitful vineyard said, I am the true vine. And in that same room with his disciples, he not only lifted up the cup and said, this is my body which is broken for you, but he also took the cup and he says, this is the blood of the covenant that I make anew with you. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This little town of Bethlehem, obscure, pointed to the birth, and in the birth it pointed to the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, who would die for your sins and mine and the sins of the world. That first verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem says the hopes and fears of all the years are met in him tonight. He was not only acquainted with grief, but he was tested in every way as we are, and yet without sin. And some of you right now, especially at this time of year, know sorrow and pain and loneliness all too well. We have a God that took on flesh, and he knows where you are, how you feel, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That little town of Bethlehem also says, where meek souls still receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. It is my strongest hope that you come here this evening not just to celebrate that Jesus came to earth, or even that he went to the cross and died for the sins of the world, but that you could come and celebrate and to say, I've received into my heart. I recognize that I am a sinner and I needed a Savior. May the bread of life and the fruit of the vine, the blood of Jesus Christ, cover me my sin. May your heart's prayer say, God, be born in me. Don't just be born in an obscure place called Bethlehem Ephrathah. Be born in my heart today. Now, as we prepare to take communion, Emily's going to come up. She's going to sing a song called Be Born in Me. And the Bible tells us that we ought to examine ourselves and that we ought to make sure that, what we're doing is a very precious thing. And so she's going to sing, and then I will come and I will give the invitation to come and partake of communion. If you're unable to come up to the elements, either here or in the back, just go ahead and wait. And before we finish the service, I'll make sure that if anyone needs to be served, we'll be happy to come and to serve you. This side here will come over on this side, and I'm going to move the tray over here, and this side here can come over here. Krista and Jean are going to be playing during the communion time, and I would encourage you, rather than just doing row by row, we're going to have about a 10 minutes time of reflection, And when you're ready to come and receive communion, if it's easier for you to go back there, you can go back there as well. But would you just prepare your hearts as we hear the words of this song? In Christ's name.
Everything inside me cries for order. Everything inside me wants to hide. Is this a shadow of an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, then why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I am only dreaming. Somehow help me see through heaven's eyes. And before my head agrees, my heart is on its knees. Holy is he, blessed am I, be born in me, be born in me. Trembling heart, somehow I believe that you chose me. I'll hold you in the beginning. You will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me. All this time we've waited for the promise. All this time you've waited for my arms. Did you wrap yourself inside the unexpected, so we might know that love would go that far? Be born in me. Be born in me. Trembling heart, somehow I believe that you chose me. I'll hold you in the beginning. You will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me. I am not brave, I'll never be. The only thing my heart can offer is a vacancy. I'm just a girl, nothing more. But I am willing, and I am yours. Oh, oh. Born in me. I'll hold you in the beginning. You will hold me in the end. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me.
And the one who was from eternity, some 700 years after it was prophesied, was born to Mary in a town named Bethlehem, Ephrathah, the house of bread and the fruit of the vine. And Jesus, some 33 years later, was with his disciples celebrating the Passover, and he lifted up the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And after giving thanks from it, he said, "Take and eat." And in the same way, he took the cup and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is the covenant of my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins of many. Drink from it, all of you. Make my heart your Bethlehem. God, be born in me. Make me new." Again, as you are prompted in worship, you can come and participate in communion to the glory of God.